I can remember 18 years ago, Christmas 1999, Christmas 1999, it didn't go the way that my parents planned for it to go. And maybe you would say, well, Christmas 2017 isn't going the way I planned for it to go or you planned for it to go as you consider this year. Maybe today and tomorrow and this week, it doesn't look or it's not looking like it's going to look the way you planned for it to go. So 18 years ago, my parents and our family, we were renting the place where we were living. And about 3 months before that Christmas, the landlords came to my family and it said to my parents that they had 3 months to find a new place to live. And it was just kind of a result of what was going on in their lives. The landlord, they needed the house for some medical reasons, for family. But you know, and I know, that you don't plan for something like that 3 months before Christmas when you have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old boy. Right? You don't plan that. Three boys, 3 months. If you've ever moved before, you know how hard it is. So now let's speed that up. Got to be out by the end of the year, and you got some young kids. And I can still remember my parents having a conversation, and there being a lot of anxiety and tears, and well, what are we going to do? I mean, we didn't plan for this. But you know, and I know, because this is adult church, right? We know as adults that life doesn't care what we plan for. Life doesn't, we make our plans and that's fine. And life kind of laughs at us and says, well, this is what's actually going to happen. And so I can remember, and I was talking to my brother and my parents kind of thinking through this. And he and I were saying, it's a Christmas we remember very clearly because it was such a different Christmas. There wasn't a big tree. We moved the next day, December 26th. So the boxes weren't under a tree wrapped. They were boxes in the house. It was like moving around boxes. And I remember the tree wasn't big. It was a 2-footer just on the table just to say we had a Christmas tree. And there was not the normal haul of presents that year. There was a couple presents, and they didn't fit under the tree because it was a table. So they were kind of next to the tree. But side note, I remember this, that one of the gifts that we received was Pokemon for Game Boy, right? And so for my brother, he got Pokemon Blue, and if you know what he does on YouTube, you know that changed his life. And so it was a good Christmas in 1999 for some, but it wasn't one that we planned for. It wasn't something that my parents and we went into saying, oh yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move in a couple months. Oh yeah, we're going to kind of uproot from where we've been for a few years and try and find a house, and this sounds like a good plan. But I know, and you know, that life has a funny way of messing with our plans. That you made a plan, and I made a plan, and we've all made plans, and Christmas, tomorrow morning when you wake up, Christmas has this way about it. We can call it this magical thing, this potential, whatever you want to call it. But Christmas has the ability to remind you more than any other day out of the year of how life didn't go the way you planned for it to go. Mom, for some of you, as you think through 2017, you're looking at relationships and you're saying, didn't plan for Christmas morning to look like this. Right, I thought that our marriage would be different. You might have a family or you wanted a family. You thought by now there would be kids, or if there is kids, you thought they would call this Christmas because that was the plan and that's what you were hoping for. Or maybe it's financial and you thought this is going to be the Christmas where we're going to have presents and I'm going to give my kids a better life than I experienced growing up. And you were tracking the numbers all throughout the year and it was supposed to be there, but it's not. And Christmas has this way of reminding you how your plans didn't work out. And you thought, I mean, the business was doing good and it was going to be great. But now you're looking back and you're saying, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know. We're trying to close out this year. Thank God, one more week left. Let's get to a new year. Or for you, it's physical. You had a plan. I mean, you've been eating kale for months. You're done with kale. Right? You're just like, I just can't do this anymore. I mean, get some sugar, get some gluten back in my diet. I've been trying because I was told if I eat this, if I do that, then the plan is I'll be fine. And Christmas is going to remind you again, you're not fine. Physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially. There's something about when you wake up tomorrow morning for this potential to remind you of plans not working out, of this isn't how we planned for it to be. And now maybe as you listen to this, you're on the other side and you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to wake up and there's going to be presents and there's going to be family. I mean, everyone's going to be there. Kids are talking to me and things are great and you're doing great physically and everything's great. And it seems like the plans are working out. As adult church, so let me tell you what you already know. You know, as good as it is on Monday, Tuesday can look completely different. Well, you know that. This isn't new news. This isn't a surprise. And I know, it's like, Pastor, we came out on Christmas to be encouraged, and you are killing the buzz. I know. Stay with me. We're going to get the buzz back. But let's be real. Let's start off real. You know that as sure as your plans seem, and as you know this is the plan and it's going to work out, and maybe it is, you still know, and I know, life doesn't care. And that plans can get changed and plans can get ruined. And I mean, you crossed every T. You wanted the career that you wanted, and so you went to the school they said to go to, and you did that internship thing where you work really hard and you don't get paid for it because they said you have to. And now you got the starter job and you're moving up and everything's going the way it's supposed to. That's the plan. But what happens when it doesn't go the way you planned for it? Now, what happens when tomorrow morning on Christmas you wake up and you look around the table and there are people who aren't there? You didn't plan for that. I got a friend this past year lost his dad and his brother. It's going to be the first Christmas where they're experiencing loss in that way. They didn't plan for that. There are things you and I can't plan for, whether it's in our relationships or it's financially or physically. We all have our plans and we love our plans, but what happens when the plan doesn't work out? Now, today isn't about you not planning. Okay, it's not about, okay, since we don't know what's going to happen, let's just be free spirits. Some of you are, and I applaud that because I can't do that. I'm type A to the A. Like, I plan and I map and time blocks. I have a break coming up this week. I made time blocks for my vacation week. My wife thinks I'm crazy. I might know exactly what I'm doing and what my plan is. Right, so we plan and it's good, and it's not about not planning. The question I have for you on Christmas Eve 2017 is, what do you do if it doesn't go according to plan? What do you rely on? What hope do you have if you threw everything into the business? You put everything into the marriage. You put everything into your health. What happens if it doesn't go the way you planned for it to go? And you know what we're really good at doing in that moment? Plan B. Contingency plan. Well, that's okay. If this didn't work out according to plan, I'll just make a new plan. I'll just start something new. I'll just try something else. And as you look back through your life, you can see, well, the plan was with him, but him didn't work, so I got a new him, and him didn't work, so I got a new him, and the job, and the new job, and the other job, and that nutrition plan, and now I don't eat sugar, and now all I eat is sugar. And it's just like, we just keep trying these new plans. And keep planning, and I keep planning. And today's not about you not planning, and it's not about a contingency and a plan B. Today's about, what hope do you have if every plan around you doesn't go the way you thought? Ma, what are you going to look to tomorrow morning when you wake up and maybe for you there are no presents, there's no tree? When you look around a table and there's no guests, there's empty seats, what are you going to do? What do you have in that moment? Because if you're like me, we love our plans and we tend to live for our plans. And when someone messes with our plans, you know what we do? We do what we all do when someone messes with our plans, whatever it takes. That's what we do. If someone's going to mess with the relational plan, well, whatever it takes, I'm going to guard this thing because I'm on my fourth hymn and I finally think this is the hymn, and so we're going to make sure. And this is the business and this is the job and their competition, but we're not going to let them stop us because this is the plan. And so we do whatever it takes to protect our plans. And today I want to introduce you to someone who did whatever it took when their plans got messed with on the first Christmas. He's a lot like me. He might be a lot like you. This Christmas Eve at Truth Community, we're kind of putting a spotlight on texts that we tend to skip over. Like, this is the part of the Christmas story that doesn't make it into the Charlie Brown special, and there's probably no cartoons about this. And in fact, for me as a Christian, and maybe you, you're like, couldn't we not have that in there? That'd be a lot better as we tell the story. But we're going to talk about someone that I know I'm a lot like. Because I have this ability to lean into my plans and protect my plans. And don't mess with my plans because I'll mess with you and I'll do whatever it takes because I finally think I got it right. And what I want you to discover today and what I want to discover today is that we need something outside of our horizontal plans so that even if every plan around us fails, there is a sure hope. There is something for us that can't be stopped that cannot die, that does not expire. You know this, and I know this, right? Everything around us expires. And I know that's morbid, and I know it's Christmas. Don't worry. Stay with me, okay? But think about it. Every plan you have, there's an expiration date to it. You got to know this, especially if you go to my grandma's house, because the salad dressings, check them. Before you use, always check. Always, that's just a piece of advice for you. But you know and I know that expiration dates aren't just on food products. Expiration dates are on our relationships. They're on our businesses. They're on our health. Even the most surest of plans, there's a point where that stops being relevant. Anyone know about Blockbuster? Right? Come on, you remember Blockbuster? Come on, you could think through businesses. There's no way. Could you imagine not going to Blockbuster? Now, what is that? Right? Come on. Everything expires. And so you can know. Maybe you don't know me. I've been married 8 years. I have a 3.5-year-old, a 1.5-year-old. And I have plans for my marriage. I don't want to be 8 years. I want to be 80 years. I want to see my kids grow. I want them to have kids. There's a plan there. But I've got to have something outside that plan that says even if, because there's expiration dates on that. So let me introduce you to the guy who's going to teach us a lot about plans today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Let me stop there. King Herod is the guy we're going to talk about. And so maybe you never heard of King Herod, or if you have, you know his part in the Christmas story. It's not one we love to put a spotlight on. Today we are, because I believe King Herod is a lot like me, and maybe you'd say he's a lot like you. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm not a king. Okay, I know that. I'm not a king either. I think I am. My wife kind of does. But we still can connect to King Herod here, and here's why. King Herod was living for what you and I live for, and that is to be accepted. Come on, as introverted as you might be and as much as you might hate people, you still don't like going into a room and being ignored or being looked at or being pushed aside. We like to be accepted. We like for the people around us to know us or to have a couple good friends that we can get together with. It's in us to want relationships. In fact, I believe that that's in you because God made you in his image, and God is very much into relationships. So King Herod wants relationships. And what King Herod does is he tries to win the approval of the people that he is king over so that they will accept him. And here's the problem. King Herod wasn't born into his kingship. He was appointed by Caesar to be the king of that area. So he had to do a lot of work to get the people he was ruling over to like him and accept him. So he tried doing it by building great buildings, by making monuments. In fact, he even restored the Jewish temple that was destroyed so that maybe the Jewish people, it's okay, he's a pretty good guy. He got us a church back. This is good. But none of it happened. People still weren't accepting him. The plan was to get accepted, but the plan wasn't working out. So Herod tried a relational plan. And after 10 wives, marriage after marriage after marriage, he was trying to iron out, I've got to get a plan that this will be the one. No, this will be the one. That'll be the one. Herod was trying to set himself up for retirement. Now, this is Long Island, so I already know your retirement plan. It's Florida. Okay, we're from Long Island. It's what we're going to do. I've already embraced it. Give me a couple decades. I'll be down there. Right? It's just what we do. So he has a retirement plan, and he's got a will. And remember, he just took the throne, so he's trying to make sure the right son gets the right spot. So Herod has his will changed 4 different times. But after each time, he has to execute the son that he left it to because he's afraid of treason. But Herod, like me, is so set on keeping his plan safe and locking in on the plan. And this is the plan. And if someone messes with the plan, well, I just do whatever it takes. And this is what Herod does. And he's known for drowning priests and strangling rabbis. In fact, Caesar Augustus said he'd rather be Herod's pig than his son because it's safer. So this is the reputation that we read about. But don't disconnect. Because Herod like you and Herod like me, we love our plans and we protect our plans. But we all know, and Christmas is going to remind you of this tomorrow, life doesn't always go the way you planned for it to go. And Herod gets news at the age of 70, after he's been diagnosed with a terminal kidney disease, that there is someone new and they are going to jack up his plans. 5 miles south of him, a king is born. We read in verse 2, about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. So Herod gets some news. You've gotten news like this before. It might not be about your kingship, but you had everything set and everything was good, and you went to the doctor, and it's, what's that diagnosis? And you thought the person that said, I do to you, meant till death do us part, but what's going on now? And you were positive that the numbers were looking good and the business was growing. Now you look back and say, well, I didn't expect that news. And Christmas has this way of reminding you of that. It has a way of reminding me of plans not worked out. And Herod gets this news that 5 miles south of him, there's a new king. And Herod does what we do when our plans don't work out. Herod does what we do when we're living for our plans and it's not going the way we thought. Whatever it takes. And here's the verse we really wish wasn't part of the Christmas story. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Here's the truth I take away from that. If you live for your plans, you're going to die for your plans. And if someone messes with the plan, you may kill for the plan. And I know you're thinking, this is our go-to when we compare ourselves to other people. What's the first thing we say? I'm not that bad. I never killed anybody. For some reason, we just go all the way up to the top of the ladder. Right? It's like, well, listen, I'm not that bad. Okay, let's come down a few levels now. Let's talk about what you have and have not done. Because I know for me that there could be a potential if I'm so married to the plan, and the plan is this, I'm going to do what it takes to make sure the plan stays intact. And so maybe you have or you've seen someone keep a secret in a marriage because if they know, then the marriage is going to break, and the plan is to be married and grow old and move to Florida, so we can't not have that. So we'll just keep a secret. Or you know what? I mean, you just change the numbers a little bit. I've been working really hard at this job, and what's a zero? Take it away, add an extra one or five. We're fine. We're just going to keep to the plan. Some of you have lied to get a date. Sure, you threw up a picture of yourself, but it was from 20 years ago, right? And they're like, what is going on, right? Because we do what we have to make sure the plan stays the plan. And Herod does whatever it takes. And sure, I don't have the power to issue this kind of decree. But Herod did. No one batted an eye. This is just another day at the office for King Herod. Keep the plan safe. Do whatever it takes. Keep it safe. Do whatever it takes. Because if you live for your plans, you're going to die for your plans, and you might kill for them. Because your plan is everything. It's what you're living for. But here's what we kind of missed as we read. Herod was given a tremendous opportunity to abandon his plans and live for a plan outside of his. See, when those wise men showed up in verse 2 and they announced there's a new king and we've come to worship him, that's an invitation for Herod to say, you know what, I've been trying and it's been decade after decade and marriage after marriage and will after will and execution after execution and now I'm 70 and now I've got this kidney disease and now I've tried my best and you're telling me there's someone to disrupt that? Well, here's your opportunity, Herod. You're going to keep fighting against it? Or will you lay down your plans and say, let me go and see this king with you guys. Let's see what this is. This wasn't part of the plan, but maybe this is better than the plan. And Herod kind of acknowledges that that's an option. He says this to those men. He told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Now, I can't just speculate sarcasm. It wouldn't be right. But in light of everything Herod's been doing, Herod says this to them. Go find him, tell me, I'll worship him. Maybe he was going to, maybe he wasn't. But the wise men didn't come back and tell him where King Jesus was born. And Herod, in this rage of fury and as a desperate man who wants to protect the plan, says, I'll do whatever it takes. We'll keep this safe. But don't miss it. Herod had an opportunity. Stop living for his plans and live for a plan outside of him. See, he made a plan that day to take out the king that was born, to take out Jesus. But he didn't realize there was this great plan that was at work. A plan that was going to be outside of those expiration dates. A plan that would be outside of everything around us dies. A plan that didn't have an end to it. And Jesus, as an adult, he explains to people who are around him why he couldn't die that night. Because there was a plan in place. And he says to them, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. Maybe if this is your first time in church or you know someone who goes to church and you're confused because what's with the cross? Why death? Why communion? We're going to take that in a few minutes. Why do we talk about death and dying and where's the hope in that? You have a plan and I have a plan, and every one of our plans, as hard as it is to admit it, there's an end date. There's an expiration date. At some point, the relationship, the physique, the marriage, whatever it might be, it's just there's something final about it. I know at some point I will die. It's just the reality. And yet, God looks at us with all of our finite horizontal plans and says, you keep living for what has an end date. And God has this plan that is outside of end dates. And Jesus comes to this world with the intent of dying voluntarily and conquering death, coming back to life and staying alive so that you and I could have an opportunity to embrace a plan that clearly does not end. And that's Christmas. God sends Jesus to this world, to all of us horizontal, time-ending planners. Says, here's a plan outside of you that you can embrace. Here's your opportunity. Live for your plans, die for your plans, fight for your plans, kill for your plans, or live for the one who decided to die so that this plan would not end. In December 24th, 2017, you and I are having the same opportunity that Herod had 2,000 years ago when he heard of King Jesus who was born. There was another man about 2,000 years ago who had this opportunity. His name was Paul. And Paul had a plan to stop every Christian. His plan was to stop churches from growing and stop people from knowing Jesus, and he was executing that plan with precision. And along his way, filling that plan, he had an opportunity. And he had an encounter with Jesus. And unlike Herod, he didn't keep living for his plans. He said, okay, I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm gonna see what Jesus is about. And suddenly Paul's plans changed, his life changed, and he writes these words that I want you to see as we put them up here and read and understand. This is a plan worth living for. Paul says, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. This is a plan that is outside of your plans. It's outside of my plans. It is God's plan of love. And God's love is demonstrated in that Jesus comes to this world and we celebrate at Christmas the coming of Jesus. To all of us who keep planning and keep trying, and if it doesn't work, I'll make a new one, and I hope that one works because I'm so attached to it. And Jesus comes and says, I'm going to give you a plan that cannot be stopped because it's already died and come back to life. This is a plan of God's tremendous love. And what I want you to remember this week as you move through Christmas and tomorrow you look under a tree or you don't see a tree or you look around a table and you see people or you don't see people and you reflect over 2017 and maybe you see failed health, failed business. I want you to remember this. God's love is greater than all of that. God's love is greater than anything. God's love is greater than everything. God's love is greater than you fill in the blank. What is it that needs to go in that spot for you? What plan have you seen not worked out and Christmas is going to remind you of how it didn't work out? What needs to go there for you today, tomorrow, the next day? I know what goes in that box for me. I know that I have to keep remembering God's love is even greater than my marriage. God's love is even greater than being a parent. God's love is greater than a business. God's love is greater than physical health. It's got to be greater because all those things expire. And I'm going to enjoy my wife and enjoy my children and know that even if there is God's love, even if Jesus came to this world, died, and came back to life, and it's a story worth telling, and it's a story worth knowing. It's a story worth living for. Because you're already living for a plan. What I want you to do as you reflect this Christmas season is think, what plan are you living for? And what would happen if it stopped? Or what would happen if it didn't work out that way? Could you say this Christmas, you know what? Even if God's love is greater. And I know it's dark, and I know it doesn't make sense, and I know there's loss and pain, and you didn't plan for this. In fact, what you're experiencing is outside of you. It's not even like your fault. This is the result of someone else, or for you, you're saying the universe hates me, the world's out to get me, and you're probably right. This is how you feel. And in all of those feelings and in all of those knowings, do you also know that God's love is so great and God's love is for you? And how does that change your view, not of Christmas, but of your life and of other people? And as you plan to know, I'm not throwing everything into this. There's an expiration date on that. I'm going to live for God's love that is so great. That is Christmas. That is God coming to this world for us, for you. Christmas is God taking a giant step into our world. And like Herod, and like Paul, and all of us in this space today, we have an opportunity. So what are we going to do with it? What we're going to do now is we're going to watch a short movie that tells the whole Christmas story. Because I don't want you just coming here and hearing about Herod. So we're going to talk about the whole Christmas story, and then we're going to take communion together, which is how we remember Jesus died so that we could have a plan that lives beyond death. And here's what I want you to do. As we do this, close out our time together. In that chair in front of you, there's that connect card, but there's also a gray card that says step. Because something we talk about a lot here is that every single person has a next step. And today, as you're here, maybe you're visiting, maybe you've been coming for a short time, or you've been here a while. Would you reflect during this movie and during communion and say, you know what? My next step is to discover Jesus. My next step is to understand this God's love that Paul talked about that seems to have changed people. Maybe there's people in your life, you're looking at them and all of their failed plans and things gone broken and wrong. You're saying, but they have this hope, they have this joy. And it's not this weird, crazy, obnoxious. All right, I'm not talking about those. You have those cousins. I'm not talking about those cousins. People that are down to earth and it's like, yeah, everything around me is fading and broken and it's falling apart and I'm hoping it's going to get put back together. But I haven't even if. There is God's love. If you want to discover that, you want to say, I want to take a step towards Jesus on Christmas when he took a step towards me, grab that gray card. There's a spot that says discover Jesus. And hand it to me or drop into one of our giving boxes as you leave today. And here's why, because you're taking a tangible step towards saying, I want to discover Jesus. Maybe for the first time or maybe for a new time. And you're saying, I'm going to discover him. I want to know about this God's love greater than thing. So as we watch this and as we take communion, reflect, what plan are you living for? What hope do you have if it doesn't work out? God's love is for you today.